Welcome to Locked On Pistons, your daily Pistons podcast. I'm Duncan Smith, your host. You can follow me at Duncan Smith NBA. You can find my work at pistonpowered.com. You can follow that account on Twitter at pistonpowered. Today we're going to talk a little bit about a familiar face, and that would be Anthony Tolliver, former Piston and now former Sacramento King. He was given his release yesterday, on his birthday, no less. That sounds cold-blooded from the Sacramento Kings organization. It's tough to lose your spot in the NBA on your birthday, but it's actually not all bad. For starters, it's worth knowing, and essential to know actually, that yesterday was his guarantee date for his $8 million partially guaranteed contract. If the Kings were to release him before the end of yesterday, they would only owe him $2 million. So it's definitely a business deal. It's nothing personal. And if anything, actually, Tolliver will benefit from having an early release date. Some players will have guarantee dates that don't hit until July 1st or even July 15th. And that's a little bit tough because by the time that your team decides what to do with you, a lot of other teams will have already allocated funds or made plans to go elsewhere, and you'll be left out in the cold in some respects. That won't be the case for Tolliver. Teams are going to be aware that he's going to be on the market for a full month before free agency begins, so it's actually a good thing for him. It's not likely that he's going to recoup the whole $6 million shortfall. But this is going to be the last year of his contract with the Kings anyway. So if he can sign a 2 or 3 year contract and get some sort of long-term security there, that's probably going to be a reasonable trade-off in his eyes. If some team was to spend the entire mid-level exception on him, which is not entirely, it's not that likely. That's $8.4 million. That's kind of a hefty sum in a time when a lot of teams just don't have cap space after last season's free agent feeding frenzy. If some team was to reach like that, then he's getting a big win. But either way, he's definitely going to be sought after in free agency this season. The Pistons might even come calling. He was well-liked by the organization. He was well-liked in the locker room. He would provide some shooting, and that's something this team badly needed. They were one of the worst shooting teams in pretty much every single category, bottom two or three in most categories last season. So a guy like him could definitely benefit the locker room. It would definitely benefit the team shooting. He would have been, I think he shot just over 37% from three. He would have been the best shooter, the best three-point shooter on the Pistons if he had those numbers with the Pistons last season. So he might be something the Pistons might go after with the minimum contract offer, which is probably a little bit less than he can fetch, or the mini mid-level exception, which is half of the mid-level exception, in the neighborhood of about $4 million. So keep an eye on Anthony Tolliver as we go into July. And don't feel bad for him. Things are going to work out just fine for Anthony Tolliver. It's not a bad thing. So we're going to get into the second part of the Reddit mailbag that we started earlier this week. I really appreciate the questions that you guys sent in. I'm not going to be able to get to all of them because you guys were extremely generous in your questions. But we're going to do this again in a week or two probably. So if you've got something that you're wondering, save it up for the next mailbag, fire it in, and I'll be grateful for the interaction. Pistons Reddit has been most kind to me, and I'm pretty appreciative. If you don't frequent the Pistons Reddit, please do so. It's not quite like what people say Reddit is across the board. It's a good place to be. So anyway, we're going to get right to the questions here. We've got a bunch of questions for Algernon Guy. We'll see what we can get to here. out of the four or five that he dropped off. We're going to do a couple of them here. So, actually, the first question is several questions all in one. So, here we go. Your realistic top three wish list for top free agent targets and for draft picks. We'll address that first. As for free agent targets, the Pistons are really going to be delving into minimum contracts. There's no cap space to be able to go out and get the guy. So a realistic top three wish list. I mean, we just talked about Anthony Tolliver. If the Pistons could get him for the minimum, I would be happy with that. But I mean, there aren't going to be any exciting free agents coming to the Pistons this season. So, I mean, I don't really think that I have got a top three wish list right now. I think that a lot of the people that the Pistons might be dealing with are probably on, probably have team or player options that won't get picked up. And that's going to be the market that the Pistons are going to be delving into. For draft picks, well, Lauri Markkanen is kind of the dream for me. I think that he's going to be gone before the 12th pick comes up. Donovan Mitchell is also a guy that I am very intrigued by. He might also be gone. Luke Kennard is another one who could provide the Pistons with some shooting. I think he might still be on the board by the time 12 rolls up. But as far as realistic goes, you know, the Pistons are in a situation where the top 10 players are highly sought after, really. You're not going to have a lot of situations where you're going to find somebody dropping down to 12. Say 9 or 10 guys are pretty close to surefire NBA players who have bright futures, and then you've got 10, 11, 12, maybe 13 that are a little bit hazier. So it's not a bad draft to have the 12th pick in if you have to have the 12th pick. But we'll see what kind of potential is waiting there for the Pistons. Next question. Stan Van Gundy is 3 years into a five-year contract. That makes next season a make-or-break year for him, right? It's unlikely he would go into his fifth year as a lame duck coach GM, so wouldn't any contract extension firing or so forth happen in the next 12 months? The answer to that is most definitely this is the year for him. You pretty much summarized it really well. This is the make-or-break year for him. Usually being a lame duck coach or GM is a bad sign, and it sets up a situation where GMs, again, this is not exactly the situation we're dealing with the Pistons, because Van Gundy is not the GM, he's the president of basketball operations. But, you know, essentially, it's the same sort of deal. You don't really want to have a coach, GM, basketball president, what have you. You don't want to have him in a lame duck situation where he's going to be making personnel and roster moves trying to save a job. Danny LaRue has sort of a rule of thumb where once a GM starts making moves to save his job, it's already too late. That's a situation I think that Goris is aware of. I think that we won't find the Pistons going into a fifth season with any kind of with no assurances on paper. I think the next 12 months, I think that's going to be the defining period in Stan Van Gundy's tenure with the Pistons, and his future with the Pistons hinges on that. Next question from Algernon Guy. Stan Van Gundy says the biggest source of improvement will be individual player development. Which Piston has the greatest likelihood of exceeding expectations next season? He goes on to add that the temptation is to say Drummond, but as the highest paid player, he has the highest expectation. I think that Drummond does have a great deal of potential to burst forth. Contrary to popular opinion, he actually had a fairly across-the-board improvement in a lot of categories last season. He had a better field goal percentage. He had better numbers around the rim. I've done a lot of breakdowns on Piston Powered and on Twitter as to just how he has improved, and all of this without any kind of a reliable pick and roll game. Reggie Jackson was not at his best this season, and Ish Smith he's not the most effective pick and roll guy simply because teams can pack the paint when he's got the ball in his hands. They don't respect his shot, nor should they. As I recall, he shot he shot 26% from three. Teams would love him to just jack up threes at every opportunity. So Drummond does have the potential to spring fourth here, but the reason for that is that I think Reggie Jackson has the greatest likelihood of exceeding expectations, and certainly improving on his performance last season. While Drummond quietly improved in a lot of respects last season, Reggie Jackson was one of the worst regular rotational players in the NBA last year. He had, of all players who had high usage, which I categorize as 25% usage or more, which is actually a little bit on the low side, but he touched just shy of 27%, as I recall. Of all players that had high usage rates in that neighborhood, he had the fourth worst defensive rating and the actual worst offensive rating. Now, naturally, not either of those things are going to be directly his fault, but he was certainly a part of it. I think that if his knee does heal and if rehab goes well, I think that he's got an excellent opportunity to really catch some people off guard. And time's only going to tell, because knee tendonitis is it's a chronic thing, and it's probably going to re-flare down the road, considering the fact that he's an NBA point guard who's on his feet for 30 minutes per game, in addition to all the other kind of wear and tear that professional athletes have to deal with. So Reggie Jackson is my guy with the greatest likelihood of exceeding expectations next season, because I think expectations largely are pretty low on Reggie Jackson. We're going to go down to the final question that Algernon Guy had to ask. Of all lottery teams, which are the most likely to make the playoffs next year? In parenthesis, please say Pistons number one. Well, you're not going to be thrilled to hear this, but I think it's the Miami Heat. For about half of the season, they were the 34th best team in the NBA. If it wasn't for the 10-31 start that they got under, I think that they would probably have been, they might have been the biggest threat to the Cavs in the East, which isn't saying much because nobody was a threat to the Cavs in the East this season. But I think it's the Heat. I think the Pistons are pretty close to it, though. I'd say that they might be the next most likely. Again, that is predicated pretty heavily on Reggie Jackson's performance. Next question from TTVW. Would you trade Stanley Johnson, Henry Ellenson, and the number 12 draft pick for Isaiah Thomas? Sure. Why not? Pretty much all I've got to say about that. Isaiah Thomas is pretty good. He's really good. I think that the Pistons would have to figure out what to do with Reggie Jackson. They would also have to figure out how to counteract Thomas's completely ineffective defense. They obviously didn't do a very good job of that with Reggie Jackson this season. So I think that it would be a trade worth pursuing, though. And a final question, Irish Thunder 23. How big of an impact will the new stadium have on the team? I feel like attendance will be much higher with the new stadium and thus a much better atmosphere. I think the attendance will be better, but I think the Pistons are going to have to win for it to matter. Fans, especially towards the end of last season, fans didn't need a whole lot to get them excited. Basically, like, competitive, potentially winning basketball was something that really got crowds going. The late season game against the Miami Heat, that the Pistons lost that game, I think it was thanks to a Hassan Whiteside put back over Andre Drummond at the buzzer. That seemed like a playoff atmosphere, and the Pistons had the thinnest of shreds of opportunity to make the playoffs at that point. I think this is a fan base that is not only starved for a winner, but it's also starved for a team that that really goes out and convinces them that they care. And at times, you know, pro athletes are not a group of people who don't care about winning. But you know, with the low energy starts, with the kind of lethargy that the Pistons displayed at times, you could be forgiven for thinking that the Pistons didn't care from time to time last season. Surely they did, but you know, this fan base I think needed to be convinced, and games like they put forth against the Miami Heat might go a long way in convincing the Pistons fans of that. I think you're right though. I think the atmosphere will be better than it's been recently. There's not much more miserable than trudging out from 45 minutes outside of Auburn Hills, if you're coming from Detroit, say, in the middle of February, middle of January, it's cold, it's miserable. You know, you're gonna have to walk 4 minutes from the back of the parking lot to get to the doors. It's gonna be nice to, I think for a lot of people, to not have to deal with that long drive. You know, I don't think there's going to be much bad to say about the new stadium. I think it's going to be great. And I think that early on, the Pistons might actually have a boost in atmosphere that might actually carry them a little ways, but they will have to win games to carry that, for that to matter, for that to be something that holds over. But, you know, if the Pistons get off to like a 8-3 start, you might find like a playoff kind of atmosphere in that building. But the Pistons do need to capitalize on it. And wins, baby. That's what it's going to take. It's going to take wins. So that's all I've got for now. I appreciate you tuning in. If you'd like to support the podcast in any way, please make sure that you're subscribing and rating and reviewing. 5-star, 4-star ratings are great. You can also patronize our sponsor, SeatGeek. It's the best, most efficient way of your time and dollars to find the seats you're looking for concerts, for games, sporting events, what have you. If you use the coupon code LOPistons, they'll know that you came from us, and that's good for us. It's good for you because, well, you did something that's good for us. So everybody wins, and that's a good thing. So that's going to be it for today. I'll be back at it on Monday. So have a great weekend, guys. Signing off.